welcome to the SPS Digital Learning Hour, brought to you by Digital Learning and Assessment Department. We're coming to you today from a conference room in Central Office, bringing you the latest news in Springfield Public Schools in regards to technology, along with inspiring interviews from teachers who are using technology like you. I'm Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy, and I am so excited that you are here joining us today. We have a great interview with Alex Friedman of Duggan. Before we get into the interview, though, I just have a couple of quick district announcements for you. If you don't follow the district and you need to go out to MySPS, make sure that you are getting the announcements as they come. As you might have learned, we're actually looking at starting a virtual school. There is an invitation as teachers to be joining the Portrait of a Graduate and what we want Springfield students to look like when they leave Springfield Public Schools. And also, if you want to be a part of the strategic planning for the district, if you want to have a voice, there is an opportunity for you to join. Check out all of those announcements on MySPS. So today's interview with Alex Friedman at Duggan, he's a seventh grade teacher and an instructional coach over at the academy there. And one of the great things about it is Alex loves to use technology in the classroom and was even doing it pre-pandemic. Pretty awesome. Check out this awesome interview.
Sure. My name is Alex Friedman. I work at Duggan Academy. I am currently in my sixth year of teaching. And I work as a seventh grade ELA teacher and the instructional coach at Duggan Academy.
So you do both seventh grade, and you've done that for 6 years. And how long have you been doing the ILS aspect of it?
So the instructional coach position started officially this year.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you. It certainly is something where COVID and our shift to remote online learning really, I think, helped me find a niche for that role. And it's been really a great experience.
Awesome. So pre-COVID, when you've been teaching on ELA the whole time, what were some of the things that you would do in the classroom in regards to using technology?
Yeah. So, I mean, it really started, honestly, Mike, with, I think, trying to find an effective learning management system before learning management systems were what they are today. I remember in my first year at Kennedy, and we created like Google accounts for every student. And a lot of the students didn't have cell phones at the time. So I was using my number. So I created so many Google accounts using my phone number that Google actually blocked my number because I had like my phone number attached to like 40 different student accounts. Those were the days where, you know, where students were like saving their work and attaching it to emails. And it really didn't work too well. So we did that. And then finally, at my first year at Duggan, I heard of Microsoft Teams, and my mind was blown. I'm like, wow, now students don't need to email me their work for every single assignment. It's so convenient. And it really worked quite well. We at Duggan sort of took note of how we could, you know, maybe utilize this across the school. So it was actually funny because last year, so in 2019-2020, going into that year at Duggan, we actually created Microsoft Teams for every single cohort at Duggan. And, you know, I gave a PD on it at Duggan, and I'm just like, hey, you never know if we have a snow day or we're out of school for an extended stretch of time. We never thought we would have a pandemic. But I think that really helped us transition, and it got kids used to, you know, utilizing Microsoft Teams, which for the most part, I think we used at Duggan last spring.
Awesome. So it's very fortuitous, though, doing that training before at the beginning of the school year for everybody.
Yeah. I mean,
like a mind reader or.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I, no one wanted this ever to happen. But I think we, you know, at Duggan, we definitely, I think we prepped students to get used to using technology pretty early on. And I know a lot of instructors, specifically English, were really transitioning even before COVID, to having students type type papers as opposed to handwrite them, which I think was you know, made the process easier.
Yeah, definitely. I can see for English, short of having books to read, like for most of the work that you're doing, typing it and using Word is one of the main like tools that you'd end up using.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, students at Duggan are really good writers. And, you know, I think our usage of technology has really helped across the school.
Awesome. So back in March, April timeframe, when about a year ago now at this point, when we were going to be doing remote schooling, I know as a ZEP school, you don't necessarily follow everything that the entire district does. Did you guys automatically jump into just teaching remotely, or did you have a lot of teachers freak out because they didn't remember all the training that you had done previously, or like, what was that experience like?
Yeah. So I think like a lot of schools, we are sort of waiting to see what was exactly happening. I think, you know, the school was probably split, like most schools, some people thinking, oh, we're going to return in 2 weeks. And then some people are like, no, this is more serious than a 2 week absence. Mm-hmm. And I think once we got more clarification, teachers were really eager to start teaching kids again. So, you know, teachers, we were bringing in people who had used Zoom previously. I brought in a friend of mine who taught at Manhattan Prep, which is like an online test prep company. So he'd been using Zoom, and he offered a professional development session for Kennedy and Duggan. Mm-hmm. And it was just really like tutoring so many, like pretty much all of the faculty, and getting them used to using Zoom or Microsoft Teams. And then obviously we are reteaching how to use Unified Classroom thanks to the help at the technology department in Springfield Public Schools. So it was really just getting everyone on the same page, not to mention everyone going through all of the trauma and stress of the situation of COVID. So it was really balancing all of those things, and not to mention, you know, keeping parents in the loop, teaching students how to use these platforms as well, and getting computers to all the kids. And I know our administration did a really phenomenal job of getting a computer to every single student in the school. It was really quite the operation.
That's great to hear. I know, because if I remember correctly, like Duggan and Kennedy kind of jumped ahead of like what the district was planning on, trying to make it a seamless rollout of everything. And quite frankly, it was all hands on deck and get everything done as fast as possible type attitude. So it's great to hear that from you guys. So you finish up last year. At that point, were there talks for you to become an ILS at that point, or instructional coach, as it's called, with your school?
Yeah, I believe so. And I just want to clarify, like, I'm not technically, or at least contractually, I'm not sure if I'm an ILS, but I've been told I'm an instructional coach. So I don't know. You've been using an ILS. I know district schools have that position, but I don't think we officially have that. Yeah, I mean, I'm someone that, you know, I have my 5-12 admin license, and I worked last year to get that. And I thought, my principal thought, that this would be a really good opportunity for me to have, and a job to have before moving on to an administrative position.
Awesome. So during the summer, I'm going to guess that you were probably a part of what you guys were planning on doing for the fall. So can you talk about like what that process was like, trying to, after going through everything in the spring, like taking what you knew and then figuring out how to do it school in the fall? I'm assuming you were a part of that process. So
to a certain extent, at Duggan, we're big advocates for like grade level team leadership. So I lead the seventh grade team. With that role, we meet usually once a week to deal with planning and logistical items. Now, because we had a late start to the school year, we were able to meet every single day for about 30 minutes to an hour, where we like really dove deep into like logistical items, technology matters, parent engagement every single day. So when it came to having our parent nights and having, you know, other parent, bringing in parents, like we had, I think the first night we had our first parent night, 130 parents came. It was like pretty amazing. And that was, I think, due to all of our planning that we did.
That is awesome. So trying to keep engaged and then having those parent nights, I'm assuming that was all done through Zoom.
It was, yeah. And in addition, what we've done through Zoom is we've been able to allow, like, because we're saving so much time through Zoom, we're able to, during our team meetings, invite parents into the meetings. So, you know, long are the days where, you know, teachers are talking about students. We're just like, why are we talking about, let's bring the parent in, let's bring the student in for a conference right now. So we're actually on pace in the seventh grade to have like something like 140, 150 student parent conferences, which, you know, last year, before COVID, we were lucky if we got 40 conferences in for the year. So we're able to get over 100 more. We're able to get, you know, if we have a, well, some, like once a month we'll go asynchronous, mm-hmm. and over a 3-hour stretch or a 2-hour stretch, we're able to get like 10, 11 parents in. It's pretty amazing. And, you know, I think, you know, one of the benefits of this period for sure is that parents are so much more engaged, and we're going to have to return next year. I think, you know, the notion that parents are going to want to come in the school for a conference, take an hour off work. You know, I think parents are going to want to keep using Zoom as a way to communicate with their teachers for sure.
Mm-hmm. So with parent communications, I know some schools use ClassDojo, some use Remind.
Yeah.
There's a few other that are escaping my mind. So what do you guys use to help keep parents engaged?
Yeah, we use ClassDojo. I personally set up a Remind for the seventh grade, and we'll use it for more like alert-based messages. Mm-hmm. Personally, what I found really helpful as well is using Google Contacts. I actually uploaded all the parent contacts to my phone, and using Google Messenger, I can really easily message parents from my computer. While it does take a little bit longer than ClassDojo or Remind, I found that just individual text messages really get parents to read messages. So it may take a lot of time to send, but it's pretty efficient. I do wish that, you know, if I were to have a wish for our district to invest in, you know, Twilio or some sort of alert-based messaging system, I think that would be very beneficial.
I'm just making that note because I get to have those conversations with people above me who make those decisions. So,
yeah, I mean, it's something where, you know, I think parents, I think not just parents, anyone, if you see a phone number that you don't recognize, you're probably not going to pick up. So the voicemail-based alert systems, I think often most people just don't pick up.
Yeah, I'm one of those people who don't pick up if I don't recognize the number.
Yeah.
So so now we're into this school year. What have been some of the highlights for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll go to the parent communication. You know, just the fact that we're able to get in 150 parent conferences the entire year. I mean, we're essentially giving every single parent an opportunity to meet with all of their child's teachers at least once a year. There are some parents that we've invited in more than once. So, like, I think transparency is so key, and through technology, we're able to do that. I'd say another huge thing that we've done, and it's actually really cool. I'm really happy about this. So I've worked with the athletic director, Kofi Brooks, who's done a great job. And he asked me, hey, how can we live stream our games? So we've been able to live stream sports games through Facebook and using Zoom. And, you know, just thinking long term, you know, Zoom, Zoom is a really cool tool, but it also is not much different than the broadcast that you see on TV in that you could have multiple cameras. Mm-hmm. And long-term, we're thinking we could have student broadcasters do play-by-play of basketball games. We could have like scoreboards. We could do a lot of really cool stuff with our sports department. And then now that Zoom and Facebook are actually allowing users to pay to watch live streams, we're mm-hmm. thinking we could even have people donate, you know, a dollar to watch the game, and the proceeds could go towards, you know, a charity or, you know, to purchase things for the athletic department potentially. But that could be really innovative, and we're really excited mm-hmm. about that because Duggan, we really appreciate our sports teams.
That's awesome. And just so that our listeners are reminded of this, you're talking about doing this with 6th, 7th, and 8th graders primarily, right?
Well, Duggan, we're lucky. We also have the high school as well. So I'm not quite sure. I know 7th graders are allowed in varsity sports, but I know in our first stream, some of our first streams on Facebook, we had like over 300 people tune into the game.
I mean, that's awesome.
It's really cool, especially when I don't think we can fit 300 people into our gymnasium. So the convenience factor is huge. Also, we'll have games where, you know, we'll have teams from, I think, as far as North Adams, Massachusetts, because of the division we're in, will come in. So, I mean, the idea that fans and families from North Adams are going to drive an hour and a half plus to Duggan Academy, no, they'll probably just tune in online, which would be really cool. And I think we might be the only, don't quote me, but I think we might be one of the only Springfield schools to do this. So it's really awesome.
So it is middle of March. The governor and the DESE department have said that they want everybody back in just a few short weeks. Have you guys started planning out what that's going to look like over at Duggan and Kennedy? And now Kylie is a part of your world.
So we've been working and leading professional development sessions on concurrent learning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've told my 7th grade team, I'm like, hey, if we're worried about the safest return, then we need to be as prepared as possible, because safety protocols break down when we don't have enough practice. Mm-hmm. So let's do things as safe as possible. And let's get some reps in. Let's practice concurrent learning. So it's actually funny because I set up my classroom and I had all these props, and I took some paper and I put faces on them with masks, of course, to pretend that there's students in the mm-hmm. in the seats. But concurrent learning, I think, is going to be really innovative. It's without a doubt, I think, the future, because, you know, the student is, you know, we used to have students that would be absent, or, you know, maybe be out of the classroom for a disciplinary matter, and they would miss out on, you know, mm-hmm. a few days of learning. And now with concurrent, they could potentially tune in from home. I mean, that's pretty awesome. That solves a lot of problems that we used to have. But without a doubt, it's a challenge because, you know, you are managing multiple groups of students at once. And, you know, there are challenges. People are comparing it, I think, to, they're like, oh, well, it's just like teaching on Zoom. But, you know, really it's not. Because on Zoom, like, you know, it would be equivalent if I'm having a conversation with you and then, you know, something in my background is happening. Like it's difficult to manage more than one thing at once. So it's going to take a lot of practice, mm-hmm. but we're really excited. I know our staff at Duggan and Kennedy and Kylie, they are like incredibly hardworking people, and we're going to figure it out. We're going to be okay.
Awesome. Yeah, I know. Cause I've been like trying to call through some of the better lessons, concurrent stuff. I don't know if that's what you guys are also using. One of the things that I liked that was pointed out was having a student like kind of help monitor the Zoom part of the class. So for those students who are remote, like there's a student in the classroom responding, getting the teacher's attention to respond to questions and all of that.
Yeah, I don't know if I can share, but I actually set up something interesting. So essentially, it was kind of funny because I was looking online for really good concurrent learning strategies, and I couldn't really find anyone that I really liked. Mm-hmm. And then I stumbled upon a COVID-19 press briefing with President Biden and Vice President Harris. and they had all of the COVID medical team on Zoom. And the way they set it up, I'm like, I could actually model my classroom around that. So essentially what I did was I created, I broadcast the Zoom display on the projector screen, and I'm situated in my room in a way where I'm standing, like once standing in front of the in-person class, it looks like I'm talking to them directly. And the camera angle is such that on Zoom, it just looks like kids are seeing the, you know, sort of the side of my face, but it still looks like I'm talking to them. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I can see through my right eye, the projector screen. Mm-hmm. So it's really the perfect display and the perfect setup. I know some teachers are literally like sitting in front of their computer, sitting down, but that causes you to really have to move your head around a lot. And, you know, just having, you know, having whiplash in the past through a car accident, like, you know, it's a lot of neck movement. And, and I think, if anything, you know, teaching is really all about, you know, standing up and being in a spot where you can see as much as possible all at once. So I think, you know, the idea that you're going to have to scan the room. No, I think just being in one spot, being able to see the whole, everything at once, even the kids on screen, is probably, or at least that's what I'm sort of recommending.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of us, and one of the things in the Better Lessons thing, like there is no silver bullet to any of this. It's all going to be trial and error as we go about it. So yeah. For some people sitting in front of their computer while trying to teach their class, they might think it'll work, but then when they get there with actual students in front of them, they might realize that, hey, I need to be standing, or I need to position my camera off at an angle so I have more coverage. So,
yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting experience. I mean, we're, you know, if there's something that happens in the classroom, you know, our attention is going to go to the students in the classroom. And I think, you know, we're not used to that, right? We've been on Zoom all year. But again, we'll be fine. I think the way I'm looking at it as well is, you know, I think the perception of, oh, we're having a camera that's going to live stream your class, I think people are thinking of it as well, in some cases, like a sporting match or like a game on ESPN. Mm-hmm. Like, but really it's the kids in person are actively participating in the online remote class, not the other way around. It's not like a camera is watching you walk and lecture the room. It's quite the opposite.
And that would be amazing, but
yeah, right. I mean, that would be easy, you know, remote kids can just sort of follow along, but really it's everyone's following along with the remote. And not to mention, I think 65 to 70%. From what I saw of my grade is staying remote. So,
wow, that's quite a percentage. So.
Yeah.
So I don't want to take up too much more of your time today. I do have one very important question. A lot of times as teachers before COVID, we would be at our school buildings at 6:30, 7 o'clock, and then we wouldn't leave until 6:30, 7 o'clock. Or whenever the janitor kicks you out. And then we spend a lot of time working on the weekends too. So there's not a lot of time for self-care. What are some things that you're doing that we can help encourage listeners to do for self-care? Because I know everyone's different, but I feel like if we get a lot of ideas out there, like while we are COVID right now, we can do a lot more. Like I could go for a run at lunchtime. When I'm teaching, I have like 15 minutes for lunch and then I'm back to teaching again. So.
Yeah, I love watching Unified Classroom tutorial videos. It's a great way to relax. Now, I actually love hiking, and some colleagues and I, we go socially distanced hiking to Mount Tom, usually once a week. But I've been being proactive for myself to go up to New Hampshire as much as possible, go to the White Mountains, hike, just explore the outdoors. And I like to share my experiences with my students and fellow staff members. You know, I did Mount Washington in October, and, you know, I recorded some videos of me like giving shout outs to students, like, and there was like 2 feet of snow, and it's like 30 mile an hour gusts. It's pretty intense, but you know, really, really taking advantage of the outdoors. And I think, you know, with the, you know, we're going to become a more efficient workplace in Springfield as a result of technology, between saving time with parent conferences and having those remote. And I don't think, I think probably in the future, I don't know immediately, but I'm sure in a few years, you know, the higher ups in administration will probably be like, you know, teachers are and adults can actually work pretty efficiently online. And maybe in the far out future, professional development will be online, and that will allow us to have even more time for, you know, nature, outdoors time, because we'll be, you know, saving so much time. But yeah, no doubt outdoors has been a great stress reliever.
Awesome. Yeah, my family loves hiking. It's my least favorite thing to do outside. So yeah. I understand that. Mount Washington is, you had 2 feet of snow in October.
Yeah, I did the ammo trail.
Okay.
So 9 miles. It was intense. And my car broke down on the way home, and I taught that Monday. And yeah, it was an interesting class for sure. It's a little tired.
Well, thank you for your time. Enjoy the rest of your day. It's a beautiful Monday out. I'm sure the temperature is going to warm up soon. So
absolutely. Well, thanks, Mike. See ya.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Alex, for joining us. It was great to hear how you were definitely ahead of the curve with using Teams with your class and all the ways that you were using Class Dojo and Twello. And I think one of my favorite things that you talked about was live streaming the games and even getting to a point in the future where you have student broadcasters. I think that would have been amazing. I know in my high school at SBHS up in Vermont, we had a radio station that was like a club that we could do after school, but nothing to the extent that what you are discussing here, which I think would have maybe even changed my trajectory because of the things that I love doing. If I had the opportunity to learn and practice and grow in doing live broadcasting. And so I think this would be a great opportunity for students who are like me and would have loved to have been able to get into some sort of broadcasting career ahead of time. Again, if this is your first time that you've listened to the podcast, we're excited that you're here. Make sure you go out to wherever you listen to us and hit subscribe so you can always be updated with the latest podcast episodes. While you're out there, if you can go ahead and leave us a review, that would be great too, because that allows us to move up the charts so more people can hear about all the awesome work that's happening here in Springfield. And we love sharing, and that's the whole point of being able to do a podcast. So make sure you go out there and do those things. If you have any questions or comments, you can always send me an email. My information's in the show notes. Or you can just leave it in the comments and we can respond that way. I do read the comments when they do come in. I'm Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy, and this is the SBS Digital Learning Hour. The SBS Digital Learning Hour is written, directed, produced, edited, all by Mike Thomas of Springfield Public Schools. The music you are hearing is Risen. You can find their music out on SoundCloud.